So today, Danny and Amber, they went up to London, where there's Nepali believers, and so the leaders there are connected. Their leaders are the ones that are leaders in Kathmandu, and they're lovely leaders. We were with them just before Christmas. That was the last visit. Our last day was with them. And so their, I think it's their daughter or someone, and then obviously family members are there in London. And so they began their fellowship down there. And so Danny and Amber were there, and they said it was a great time. And because obviously they're friends with the youth, you know, the younger people, Danny and Amber. I could have gone, I was invited, but I didn't go. I thought I'd just let them go and let them enjoy. And, you know, because I got my focus, and I want labourers really to come to me. You know, I'm not after anybody else's labourers. I want God to bring me my own personal labourers that I can encourage and work with, and also be sent. You know, I want to be sent to people. Like, that was an invitation to go. I could have gone up there, but I didn't feel inspired to go up there, because I know Danny and Amber, they're good. You know, they're good. They can be encouraged by these guys, but they can also encourage those guys. So they didn't need anyone to hold their hand. Because God is working in each of us individually. And also that Danny and Amber are labourers. They report to me, and not that they have to, but they come back and they let me know what's going on and how the people were and how they were and how the meeting went. And they sent me videos and stuff like that. I'll send you over a couple so that you can have a look at later on. Just remind me before we finish the call. So it seemed like a wonderful thing going on there, but it definitely is like amongst the Nepali. There's not really English-speaking people as Nepalis living in England. But I think it's quite cool, you know, because there is work going on. And so I'm looking for that, you know, I'm looking to God for the labourer. Because the labourer will receive our words gladly. The labourer will practice the things that we encourage. The labourer will be looking to God and going to God for their labourers and for their own fields. And you know, and watching and walking with God. And so that's what I want, is the labourers. You know, so I know I don't need to chase. I know I don't need to go to any other fellowship to go and get a labourer. And so that, you know, for me, that's really fine. Whereas before, I used to be in all different fellowships, you know, all around. But it just kind of dumbs you down a little bit. And then you start picking up some bad habits or things that people say and that looks or sounds good. But it doesn't really produce anything. When I decided to get focused, then that's when God was able to get me focused. And that was when God was able to give me the right words and the right connections. And then encourage me as I move, you know, and then just hold the line. As I've continued in this, you know, God has blessed me. I can see there's lots of people that can be jealous of what you're doing, that can come in and speak, you know, certain words to people to get them against you or to get them to doubt you. And I've seen that, definitely seen that last year, and how people can come in and they, you know, they can be like your best friend, but really they're not. They've got their own ulterior motive. So I recognise these little things. Not that I focus on that, but that just comes to my mind to say it for some reason. You know, we have to walk wisely. We have to walk circumspectly with our eyes open. And, you know, it's not that we go looking for devil spirits or people like that, but if we're walking with God, these things will show up and we can see it. And then our response is that is really we just go to God and say, what do you want me to do? You know, do I do anything? Do I say anything? And 9 times out of 10, God will just tell you to stay focused on what you're doing. And he takes care of those things for us, so we don't have to get involved. But the trick is, I think sometime, is to try and get involved to try and resolve a situation that we don't like or we do like. But we don't have to do that. We just take a step back and, all right, God, I'm thinking about this situation. It doesn't bless me. Or this person or this circumstance don't bless me. I want to go and do something, you know, because, you know, we can get like that, can't we? We can get a little bit angry and then think, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But that's when we don't do nothing. We just say, okay, God, this is in your hands now. Now you navigate me in the situation. and I'll keep my mouth shut and my eyes fixed on you in the meantime, you know, and then you sort it out. You sort this problem out, you know, or you sort these people out, or, you know, sort me out if I need to be sorted out. Get me in the right place if I'm in the wrong place. So, like, we can have our hearts open to God at all times. And I think in that time, then God safeguards us and navigates our steps, you know. So sometimes you can pick up the spiritual atmosphere, and it's subtle how things can be, especially like Christmas time and the times leading up to Christmas. But also I've recognised the times after Christmas, you know, and where people are, you know, and the things that people say. And because some people, you know, they can be so nice. Oh, God bless you. Yeah, God's really working in my life. But they're not, you know, and it's just they're not even trying to confess. They just want to let people think that everything's all right when it's actually not. And then they try to look to someone to cozy up to. And I've seen all these things as well. But I'm thankful that God's made me wise unto salvation, and also wise unto some of the things that can go on to trick you out. And because it's to steal your peace and your joy, you know, because once your peace is gone, then like you can get all shook up and, you know, all out of joint. So we got to keep our peace with God and with others. And when we see things that we don't like, we just give them to God. Like, okay, God, I could say something in this situation, but I give it into your hands, you know, unless you tell me to say something, you know. But the greatest thing is that we can pray. And that we can go to God for the wisdom. You know, we ask God for wisdom if we lack it in an area. You know, other than that, I think that we just keep heart. We just keep looking to God. We keep moving forward. We keep encouraging the right things, the right practices. You know, we want to see fruit in the areas that we're practicing. So like with the speaking in tongues, we want to see the benefits of that manifesting. We want to see the benefits of our honouring God manifesting. We want to see the benefits of praying for the labourers manifesting. We want to see the benefits of speaking by the Spirit, showing its profit. And, you know, we want to definitely benefit and see the fruit of praying for labourers, you know, because that's what we should really keep our focus on, is the labourers, not the old people in the fellowships, not what's gone on in the past, but really like focus in the here and now of, Lord, throw out the labourers, throw out to me that one that is ready to go, that labourer that will receive our words gladly, that will walk in the practices of what we encourage by from you, that you encourage us to encourage, that they follow that with their heart, and that they become very productive, and give my labourers to be productive. And give us a very fruitful field so that we can multiply and grow. Open up the doors for me to travel, God, in the areas that I've desired. Because I believe that desire comes from you. So you open up those doors for me. You do something for me in that area. I need your favour. So do me a favour with an open door. Do me a favour with a labourer. Do me a favour in my finances. Do me a favour in my health. You know, I claim these things because they're mine. In Christ, because Christ has paid for it. And so, Father, you know, cause me to be productive, cause me to be close to you, but also productive for you, and to be fruitful, because that's what I delight in. I delight in you, God, but I also delight in the joys of service, you know, the joy of serving God's people, the joy of speaking thy word, and the joy of ministering, you know, is the joy. All these things is not a labourer. It's not, even though we're labouring together with God in those things, it should be a joy to us, not a burden. Oh, I better speak in tongues, you know, I better honour God, I better stay connected. You know, it's none of that. We want to do these things. We want to see the results. We want to get God activated for on our behalf to go to work for us. And so, you know, God wants us to have a good motive of heart while we're doing what we're doing, and not just going through the routine. There's no, if you're not going to get anything, then, you know, what are you going to do? Like, if you knew that you weren't going to get a labourer and you weren't going to get the open doors, what would you do now? You would chill out a little bit, wouldn't you? Relax. You think, well, I'm not going to get them, so I'm going to relax and I just stay close to God. And well, that's what we do anyway. We stay close to God all the time and then desire these wonderful things because we expect from God. So we know we will get those labourers. We know we will get the open doors. It might take some time. It might take some years. Whatever, however long or however short, we're going to go to God and enjoy the time that we got every day. And that's what God wants us to do. No, not get sad, not get down, not get impatient, you know, and but we keep declaring, we keep confessing, we keep believing, we keep expecting. And we need, everyone needs an expectation, everyone needs hope. And, you know, God says, I've given you hope and a future and expected end. So, like, keep your hope up and expectation on God. Expect really, really big, you know. And the reason why you want to expect really, I mean, mega big, is because God does exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And we got to remember that. Like, you know, we need to take God at his word. God, by the mouth of Paul, you said, because you had it written, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so even what I'm thinking now, like I'm thinking I want many labourers, many open doors, you can do it exceedingly abundantly, so go do it. Go and show us that you're going to do that. What did God say in Malachi when he said to those guys about tithing? He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the winds of heaven. If, in other words, God's saying, look, go and tithe, prove me. And I, you know, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. You know, because we know in the scriptures it says that God watches over his word to perform it. He's watching every jot and tittle of what he said. Everything that he said is established. It's in the heavens, it's in the earth, it's everywhere. His word runs very swiftly and it's living energy. Is there, it hasn't vanished anywhere. It's in existence, it's in a form, some type of a form. Words are in some type of a form, maybe invisible, but in some type of a form. And then when we, you know, meet the conditions of those words, then those words can be manifested in what those words represent, yeah? Like power, healing, deliverance, you know, rain, sun, you know? Like if there's no rain, like we can call the weather, and or we can tell the sea, you know, to be calm, or the winds to stop, like Jesus did. We can call people from their graves, come forth, you know? Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ, take up thy bed. You know, the words are there, and but they need to be spoken and they need to be declared, and they're very weighty, you know, they're very powerful. The words that we speak with faith, energized by God, are very powerful. So, like, you know, when Jesus, you know, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't lay no hands on the rock or anything like that. He just told him to come forth. And then he came forth, you know. And he still had his bandages on and everything. And then he said to them, you know, take the bandages off him. Let the guy breathe, you know. So, and I expect he smelt as well, you know. Unless he was already covered in oil. Because sometimes they would anoint their body ready for burial, wouldn't they? So I don't know which one was the case, but I think he was smelling 4 days dead, and rigor mortis would have been in there and everything. But God had to reverse all of that. You know, so the word dead was at work. It was active in the dead body, you know, until Jesus spoke superior words, come forth. And then so life returned and breath turned, you know, breath life returned into Lazarus. And so so words are waiting to be spoken, you know, the words from God are waiting to be released. And that's what we, you know, we need to speak. We need to speak what we desire to, you know. Africa, open up. Door in Africa, now open up. And call it. I call Africa's doors to open up to me, so my labourers can come forth and show themselves. Labourers, come forth. In the name of Jesus Christ, come forth. You know, we can't see nothing in physically, but we can see it in our minds. So see a labourer coming forth in your mind as you say it. Africa, be specific as well. Speak to the area that you want them to come from. Like, you know, maybe Annie knows different areas of Africa that she can tell you. Locations, you know, that you can say, right, okay, here in Paris, come forth, labourers, you know. I want you to come forth, rise up from the dead, wake up. They're spiritually dead, you know, they used to wake up so that they can hear the gospel. Ears open, hearts open unto God now. And we can call it. We can call those things. God can go to work on those words and call something to happen in someone's heart and mind through the words that we speak. And he can, you know, intervene on someone's behalf when we pray for them and when we speak in tongues for them. So the authority of words that we speak, like my words are going to work what I'm saying to you somewhere. Somewhere in there, these words that God's given me to speak is going to bless you. Somewhere, I don't know where, God sends forth his words, right? So he sends forth his commandments, his words run very swiftly. You know, it won't return void. None, anything that I'm speaking from God will not return back empty. You know, it's going to accomplish things. So words are like, you know, what we speak as containers, carrying the power of the promise of the words we're speaking. And, you know, and then when it hits the target, it delivers it. It's like a bomb, you know. If its payload is nuclear, once it gets to a certain, was it a mile above the earth or something like that? Or a little bit more above the earth and it explodes, it can affect masses of area. The higher they detonate it in the air, the more devastating impact it'll have over a city or a country. And so our words are like that. You know, they are very, they're stronger than nuclear words or atomic words, you know, or neutrons, you know, neutron bomb, stronger than atoms. They are atoms. You know, our words are smaller than atoms, you know, like they're like the little quark. And it's affecting and ripping through the universe. So when we speak our words, if you think of a computer game, when you fire something into something and then it just, it rips everything apart and out of the way. You know, when we speak heavenly words, then it's ripping through the atmosphere of where we are. It's javelin lights, you know, creating and forming the good thing or the bad thing that we're speaking. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. So, you know, again, like God, you know, when he spoke, it created. Things became, came. Things were formed. Things grew, you know, and when he breathed, was it, what do they say, the way you say Yahweh is, what, Yahweh, you have to breathe out, it's like the breath of life, it's life, that's what it's like when we're born apparently, we're basically, when we take our breath, it's like saying Yahweh. I'm not too sure about that, that's what I've heard, I don't know if that's true, I haven't really looked into it, but it sounds very interesting. So words, breath, you know, energy. So speak, let's speak to what we want. Call those things which are not as though they were. So get, you know, in your mind, get the mind picture of the labourer coming to you from the area that you want it to come from the country that you want it to come from. See yourself picking up your phone. See yourself answering the door with these labourers. You might not see a face, but you'll see a person there, woman or man, and see yourself inviting them in, see yourself sitting down and sharing God's word and serving them tea, coffee, or you know, drinks, appetizers, you know, food. See yourself sat down there and talking to them one-on-one, laying your hands on them. See yourself ministering healing and them jumping up rejoicing because they got healed through your ministering. See yourself, many people coming up your dad's drive, you know, and your mum and your own drive just down the road. See that road packed where people are walking to come to fellowship. It's so big you have to have it in two places. You have to have people at your house and people at your mum's and dad's house. And you have to have a television set up so you can do satellite between the houses where everyone's coming for fellowship. Everyone's abandoning the church and they're coming to Frank's house. And Frank's mum and dad's house, and even that your dad is having a turn of heart, and your mum, and they're like, oh, you know, whatever they think, they've got to change your heart. Yeah, that's it, you got to see it like that. So it's like it's your brother, oh, look at my Frank, my brother Frank, he's the man of God. Oh, giving the respect that you're due, you know, you're due respect. And God can bring that, not that we look for that, but it's good to have it. So God can bring that respect to you because of your stand and your faithfulness and you're unmovable, you're consistent, you're steadfast. And now it's just, now is the momentum to move forward. And you got to forget about other people in a sense to move forward because your focus has to be God first. And people will hinder you, you know, like people not listening, like when you said about the guy speaking in tongues and he didn't listen to you, didn't take it well or whatever. You know, you can't focus with people like that, even if they're good people, and if they change around, yeah, you know, if they follow you with humbleness, like a repentant heart will stop what they're doing and follow and change and start doing the right thing, and that and continue with you, you know. So you want people that are going to pursue you, show you respect, because you give the respect and you're speaking words of life to them. You're not holding back. You're strong. You use your authority in your speech, and people can see your leadership, you know. But other than that, they just see Frank if we don't move with God. You know, you don't want them to just see Frank. You want them to see Christ in Frank with authority, with direction, with strength, with good words, with a way to move forward, that this man's worthy to be followed, you know, worthy to be pursued. And just like the disciples when they seen Jesus, you know, they knew he was the Messiah, and they pursued him. They pursued after him. And so, you know, God is with us, and God is for us, and God is working in us. And we can really shake up the world. We've got to get rid of tradition. We've got to get rid of the hanger-ons. And we've got to get labourers. We need labourers. That's what we need. Labourers are ones that will not argue. Labourers are ones that do straight away. Labourers are the ones that are pursue you and will continue to come after you, bugging you, pissing you off, because they won't stop coming after you. You know, like you do with me, Frank. you don't piss me off, though. But it's like when you come after me. Okay, Lennon, it's one-on-one. When are we going to do the one-on-one? All right, okay, Frank, I'll see you in an hour. Oh, shit, something's come up for me. Okay, Frank, can we do it a little bit later on? And yes, yes, okay. And then, oh, Frank, sorry, I'm just having my dinner. I'll call you after that. And then you're fine. Like, you know, it's not that it happens every time. But, you know, you're not giving in. Like some people give in. Well, I tried to get hold of him 7 or 8 times and he's not answering the phone. If people realise how many times I called Sangha to speak to him, and he hasn't answered, and I've sent him messages, and he's seen my messages, hasn't replied. I still don't give up. I bug him, and I'm glad I do, because he, at least he answers the phone then, and he laughs when he answers the phone. Oh, okay, Lawrence, God bless you. I said, me, Sangha, you're a hard man to get hold of, aren't you? He said, oh, no, just a few things here. And I'm like, yeah, all right, okay. You was making me pursue. That's what he was doing, and I understand it, and it's good. But I pursue him anyway, you know what I mean? That's my heart, because I'm a labourer, and so I don't give in, you know, and I wait. But there's always a proper time when we call. When we finally speak, it's the right time. And I want him to be in a good place anyway, like, you know, if he's busy or he's had a long day talking to many people, because I have those days where I've spoken to lots of people and other people want to speak and you're just too tired. So it's like, because it's, you know, because it's a lot speaking all the time. But it does take its toll on you, that's for sure, I know that. You know, in a day, like you could think, oh, I could go to sleep now. And then you can't be bothered once you get into that relaxed mode, you know. So it's like after you now, I got to go on to another fellowship. I sent you the link as well, you can join it if you want. It's, when does it start? Let me have a look. It's 2:00 Eastern time, so let me just Google that a minute while we're here. So when it's 2 p.m. South Carolina, what time is it in the UK? Right, so 2 p.m. is 7:00, and the meeting starts. Oh, it starts in 2 minutes. This meeting I got to finish now. But I do love you, brother. And I just encourage you just to continue with God, just to continue to do the things, you know, speak the good heavenly words and call those things which are not as though they were. And stay connected, stay blessed, stay happy. Don't let things get you down. And, you know, just stay with God and keep pursuing and moving forward.